This has been kind of a hard week for a lot of us, yeah? With families being separated and children being taken from their parents at our borders, it has been very upsetting to me and very disturbing. And I know that it has been upsetting and disturbing to a lot of you because I have received phone calls and texts and emails from you telling me that. And so I also, Centers for Spiritual Living as an organization, sent out a letter this week condemning that practice of separating families from each other, as well as lots of other religious organizations, and I sent that out to you. And so just a few of those other organizations besides us that took a stand condemning this was also the Association for Global New Thought and the United Methodist Church, and the Jewish Orthodox Union, and the Evangelical Lutheran Church, and the U.S. Catholic Bishops, and the United Church of Christ, and the Unitarian Universalists. All of us saying this isn't okay and stepping up. And because of people being so upset and angry and taking a stand and saying this is not okay, an executive order went out this week that says families will no longer be separated from each other. And I know that it's not over, but it is moving in that direction. And so really, this is not a political issue. This is a issue of the soul. This is a spiritual issue. This is an issue of the human and an issue of the heart. Ernest Holmes, in fact, says that the only guarantee of our divinity is in its expressing through our humanity. So this is a spiritual issue. It's an issue of love and of care and of humanity and of oneness. And so if we take the politics out of it, and we take the politicians out of it, I believe we are called, all of us, to get quiet and to ask ourselves what is the right thing to do. To ask ourselves what is the right thing to do and to listen within to our spirit and to allow that to be the guiding principle in our life. To allow that to be that answer that we hear in the quietness, beyond all the rattle and everything that's going on, in the quietness, that is to be our guiding force. That is to be the thing that informs our decisions and what it is that we do. And so the title of my talk today is Turning on the High Beams. And I'm talking about us turning on our high beams, turning on our light, the light of our spirit and the light of our own spiritual nature, so that we can see through the darkness. Turning on our light so we can be a beneficial presence in this world and create a change for good to make a difference in this world, a positive difference. And so to me, I really believe our highest and deepest spiritual calling is to love one another. That's the deepest call that we have. Jesus, the master teacher, called us to love one another. He commanded us to love one another and to love your neighbor as yourself. And so as conscious beings, as awake spiritual beings walking the spiritual path, when another person is hurt, it hurts us. Because we are awake to the fact that we are connected to everyone, that we are all part of the one, that there is only the one, and we are a part of it. So when someone out there is hurt, it hurts us also. We feel that interconnectedness. Martin Luther King said, whatever affects one directly affects all indirectly. And Carolyn Reynolds says in her book, Spiritual Fitness, there is no such thing as private good. We are all connected in an intricate web of the life force. Therefore, what harms one ultimately harms all. And what is good for one is ultimately good for all. And so what that means to me is as awake beings walking this path, we don't only want what is good for us, but we want what is good for others. We don't only want what is important to us. We want others to have what is important to them. And it's not only important for us to feel loved and to feel cared for and to feel safe and to feel secure, but it's important to us that other people feel loved and cared for and safe and secure. That it's a need that we all have, and that's important to us. It's important to us individually in this room. It's important to us as an organization. In fact, as an organization, Centers for Spiritual Living have something that we stand on that is called a Global Heart Vision. And part of that Global Heart Vision says we envision a world in which we live and grow as one human family. It says we envision a world where kinship with all life prospers. We envision a world where unity and connection are emphasized and where we are called to social action. And so it's not just important to us individually, but it's important to us as an organization. And that those are some of the things that we stand for. And so when we hear stories then about 2,300 children being taken from their parents, it feels devastating to us, and it is upsetting to us, and it is appalling to us. And we get angry about it. Did you feel angry this week? You know, I think it's really important to recognize that anger is a secondary emotion. And what that means is that underneath anger, there are a couple of things. One of them is fear. That's why when someone cuts you off on the freeway and you get angry, what's really underneath it is fear for your well-being, fear for your own safety. And so underneath that anger this week, the other thing that is under that as a secondary emotion is either hurt or sadness. It's the hurt and the sadness that's inside of us. But what happens is when we feel that anger, we can allow it to be a catalyst because it has so much power in it to move us forward to do something, to say something. And so we feel sad and we feel hurt because we are one, because what is done to another is also done to us. And we feel that. But what happens is if we stay in those feelings, if we stay in the anger, if we stay in the sadness, if we stay in the story about how horrible this is, and if we stay in that we don't have what it takes to fix this, then what happens is we start feeling frustrated and we feel impotent and we start feeling depressed. And that doesn't serve us and it doesn't serve the world and it doesn't serve anyone to stay in those feelings. Is all it does is add more pain to the collective consciousness of this planet. That doesn't serve us. If we get stuck in those emotions, that's exactly where we are then, is stuck. And so there's a minister in Centers for Spiritual Living, Kathy Ann Lewis. She has a church in Seattle, and she is a powerful minister who I really admire and look up to. And she actually sent out a letter this week also, and I'd like to share it with you. She sent it out on her Facebook post for her church and as a letter to her people, just a short one. It says, many of us have been affected by the separation of children from their families in the recent news reports of immigration activities at the U.S. southern border. Our hearts cry out in pain because our capacity to love has expanded to include people we will never know. As congregants of the Center for Spiritual Living, we also know that because of the principle of the unity of all life, we are affected at some level when harm is done to another. Please join me in affirming that an elegant resolution to these tragic events is making its way through the minds and the heart of those in power in our government. Human beings are creative, visionary, and compassionate. And I hold in prayer that a creative, visionary, and compassionate solution to humane border control is being downloaded into the minds of our country's leaders now. Please join me please join me in knowing that there is an elegant, creative, visionary, loving solution that is being downloaded through all of us, including our world leaders and our politicians and the decision makers. We already see that happening. We already see that happening in the mass amounts of people that are saying this isn't okay. Ernest Holmes invites us to be for something and against nothing. That's part of what I've been wrestling with this week. How do I be for something and against nothing and not fight against this? But what he's saying is what we give our energy to and what we give our focus to is what we keep alive and what we create. So to be for something and against nothing doesn't mean that what's happening is okay. And it doesn't mean that you are saying that it's okay. But what it means is for me, I am putting my energy forward into what I want to create. I am taking my energy and my creativity to create what I want, not what I don't want. Because consciousness creates. And so what that means then is we allow ourselves to feel our feelings because we are human beings and that's part of being human. We allow ourselves to feel sad and to feel angry and to feel hurt and to feel angry again. And then we use that energy as a catapult to do something. We use that energy to move forward. We treat. We do affirmative prayer. We do spiritual mind treatment, and then we move our feet. We go and do something toward what it is that we want to see in the world. It means that we turn on our high beams. We share our light. It means that we pray, that we do treatment, that we meditate, that we know there is a creative, visionary, loving solution unfolding itself now through this country, through our leaders, through all of us. And you write your elected officials and you make phone calls to your elected officials and you speak out and you do what you are called to do, but you do the work in consciousness first. You get centered first knowing that God is on this through us, through all of us. You do the work knowing that that creative solution is unfolding itself. That's what's going on here. This is waking us up. And so Ernest Holmes speaks of that when he talks about spiritual mind treatment or affirmative prayer. He says, treatment is not for the purpose of making things happen. It is to provide within ourselves an avenue through which it may happen. The moment we think we have to treat to compel something, that moment we are exercising willpower, which is now up against a proposition that it cannot possibly meet. Treatment is not mental coercion. It is not willpower. It is not concentration. It is creating an opening for something new to happen through us because we are open. And here's the biggest thing I have to say today. In our openness to that, in our openness singing, use me, in our openness and knowing the truth, doing affirmative prayer and meditation, in our opening, because there's only one, it creates an opening everywhere. There is only one mind. There is only one consciousness. When we create an opening for God to come through, there's an opening everywhere. That is how healing happens. That is how you can pray for someone else and a healing takes place. And so my invitation to you is to know that there is a collective awakening happening now. And that this that's going on in the border, at the border, is part of what is waking us up. It is shaking all of us awake from being asleep. Shaking all of us awake from believing in separation and in otherness and in judgment everything that is unlike love. It is waking us up to that so that we can be that conduit in this world. God within us is waking us up. There is a tremendous evolution happening on this planet right now, in this country and across this world, of people waking up. And you see it all over when you look for it. The Me Too movement is part of that waking up. Things will never be the same again. What was status quo and the norm is over. I read stories this week. I read a story about a Jewish man who was beat up for wearing a yarmulke, the Jewish headpiece. He was in Germany. And as a result of that, in the next week, there were 2,000 people of various religions that wore yarmulkes in the streets in, to stand in solidarity with that man. I read another story about two men who were beat up in the Netherlands for holding hands. And there has been a reaction across the world, from New York to London to Amsterdam, of people standing up against homophobia. And what they have done is there are men who have committed to holding hands with other men and walking in the streets and posting those pictures on Facebook. And I saw pictures of men in the Netherlands, and I saw pictures of business colleagues and politicians and a football team, all of these guys holding hands with each other, and policemen holding hand walking down the streets, and hospital workers, all these men, colleagues in their business suits, holding hands and walking down the street in solidarity against homophobia. That is waking up. That would not have happened 10 years ago. And you know what else happens today? Women in Saudi Arabia today drive for the first time ever. Yay. There is a waking up on this planet, and this is a piece of it. It's waking us up so that we can all stand for love and stand for each other and care about each other. There is an awakening to inclusivity and to equality and to love and to care and to oneness, and we are a part of that awakening. And so write letters if that's what you're called to do, and make phone calls if that's what you're called to do. And if after doing that you still feel frustrated and you still feel incomplete, and my guess is you will, then the invitation is to look at what specifically about what's going on tweaks you, and then look closer to home. If what tweaks you in this situation is children not feeling safe or not feeling loved, look in your own life. How can you make the children in your family feel more safe or more loved? How can you make the children in your church feel more safe and more loved? The children in your neighborhood, the children in your city. You look at what tweaks you about it, and how can you heal that right where you stand? If what tweaks you is people not feeling valued or not being seen, where are you not valuing people? Or where are you not seeing people? And how can you value them more? How can you see them more? If it's an attitude of us versus them, Americans versus Mexicans, us versus them, that makes you angry, where do you practice us versus them? Where are you not inclusive, or do you keep people on the outside? Where can you practice inclusivity and see our sameness underneath our differences? How about with the people of the other political party? If it's a lack of kindness, where can you be more kind in your life? Colleen told me she went to the liquor store yesterday or the day before, and there was a homeless guy outside asking for money. And she says, I don't like to give homeless people money. I don't believe in that. So she went to the liquor store and she bought him a bottle of cold water and came out and said, would you like a bottle of ice cold water? That's kindness right where we are. But what happens is as we take that thing that tweaks us and we write the letters, we make the phone calls, and then we do the activities that are close to us, it heals something inside of us. And it gives us a sense of relief. Do you get that? That relief is because it's healing something that's begging to be healed inside of you. That separation, that otherness, that which doesn't look like love. What tweaks you is shaking you awake. What tweaks you is the thing that's calling you to grow and to expand and to awaken to your own spirit that is none other than the presence of love and oneness. It's your spirit seeking to come forward. And so even if the border issue isn't solved, what happens is evolution happens within you. And when it happens within you, it touches everything around you and it triggers something everywhere around you and it starts adding to that collective flow and movement of evolution forward movement. That relief that you feel from practicing that close to home is because it heals the split from your own spirit, from your own divine nature. And as a result of doing that, you step into your spiritual power and you step into your spirit and you step into your love. You step into your own spiritual integrity. You evolve your own life and you become a beneficial presence in this world. You step out of your fear, the fear of your ego that has had you there in the very first place, and you step back into the place that feels like home. Home of your spirit, home where we long to be, home in oneness. And so blessings to each and every single one of you as you are shaken awake and as you wake up to your own divine nature and your own beauty of your spirit and you bring that into the world in a way that is so healing and that is so beneficial for everyone. And so I thank all of you, and I say blessings to each of you. And I'm really glad you were all here today because I think this was a really important talk. And I invite you to share this with your friends on our Facebook page, send them to our website because I think it's important for all of us. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer right now. And so we take this opportunity to just answer the call of our own souls, of our own spirits, to turn from this world and to remember the truth that God is right here in all of its power, in all of its love, in all of its intelligence, in all of its good, that this is the kingdom that we live in. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is always right where we are. It just takes an opening our eyes and a stepping in and a saying yes to that. And so today that is what we do. We step in and say yes and recognize that that omnipresence of spirit is everywhere present. It is in and through every politician. It is in and through every person that works at our borders. It is in and through every family and every child and every heart and every hand and every person who is reaching out in and reaching out today that there is something magnificent happening right here. And it is called a spiritual awakening. And so today we step in and we step out as that presence, sharing our light and sharing our love and sharing our good. And we hold this vision of a world that works for everyone. We hold this vision of one family of humanity, of care and of love and of embracing and of inclusivity, recognizing that that is the activity of God. That is the activity of the most divine one. And so I recognize and see that happening in and through everyone. There are open minds and open hearts across this country and across this world. And there's a coming together, and there is an unfolding of this love. And so it is for this that I am grateful. I say yes. I claim this and I know this. And I simply release this prayer into that infinite law, knowing that it is absolutely unfolding now. And I say, and so it is.